With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there, Foo followers. Ben Johnson here, the host of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, reminding you that if you would like to support this show, we have a donations link available. Any spare pennies you may have would be greatly received to help with the upkeep of this show, the website, the social media accounts, and so on. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate whatever you can. And a huge thank you to any listeners who have supported us over the years. You have our gratitude. Okay, thank you, and on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Foo followers around the world. My name is Ben Johnson. Welcome to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, episode 83, speaking to you from London here in the UK. This is the fourth episode in our seventh season of shows, and my guest today is the UK martial arts star Scott Adkins. This is the fifth time that Scott's been on the show, and this conversation was recorded about a week or so ago to celebrate the release of his new movie, Accident Man: Hitman's Holiday, also known as Accident Man 2. This is the sequel to 2018's Accident Man, based on a comic book that Scott used to read as a kid, about a hitman who disguises all of his kills as accidents. The sequel is a rip-roaring action comedy with a very British sense of humour. It also has some of Scott's all-time best fight scenes in the film. And as someone who has pretty much seen all of Scott's movies, I can hand on heart say that some of the martial arts sequences in this film really are some of his best. The movie also sees the return of Ray Stevenson and Perry Benson from the first film, and a decent roster of assassins that Scott has to fight. People like Faisal Muhammad, Bo Fowler as a crazy clown, Sarah Chang is very funny as Scott's sidekick, and the awesome Andy Long, formerly of the Jackie Chan stunt team. He is just phenomenal as the main baddie in this movie. The film also features Zara Fivian, the UK martial artist and actor who filmed her scenes before her trial and subsequent imprisonment in May of this year, 2022, on child sex offences. Zara Fivian is currently serving an 8-year jail term. For a number of reasons, the scenes featuring Zara Fivian are still in the movie. However, she is not credited anywhere or mentioned in any of the publicity, so you might be shocked when you do see that her scenes are still in the film. And although we don't dwell on this for too long, I do put the question to Scott as to why this is the case, and Scott does respond to that question, so hopefully that will help to provide a little bit of background and context as to why that has happened. Despite being associated with such a terrible thing, the movie still remains a really good time. It's available to rent on digital platforms here in the UK right now, courtesy of Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, and you're going to hear all about how it was made from its leading man, producer, story developer, and fight coordinator. That's Scott Adkins. That conversation is coming up very shortly. Before we get into all that, a quick reminder that if you would like to contact the show, the best way to do that is to reach out to me over social media. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Kung Fu Movie Guide. We are also on Twitter at KF Movie Guide. And we have an email address. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. We also have a YouTube channel, which I don't tend to shout about too much, although you may have noticed I have been uploading trailers to promote the episodes in this new season of the show. They seem to be quite popular on the YouTube channel, so yes, if you do want to go and check out those clips and also catch up on some full uninterrupted episodes from our archive, then do subscribe to the Kung Fu Movie Guide on YouTube. You can also head over to kungfumovieguide.com to read all the latest martial arts movie reviews, including our review for Accident Man Hitman's Holiday. That's all on our website. Plus, that's where you can sign up to our monthly newsletter. We give away lots of cool free martial arts movie prizes in that newsletter, so do make sure you become a registered Foo follower today to be in with a chance of winning some of those prizes. Okay, that's more than enough of me blabbering on. Let's get over to my chat with Scott. A few little notes ahead of this. There was actually quite a lot of swearing on this show, which I have left in. We do try and keep things quite family-friendly on this podcast. However, a few F-bombs have managed to slip into this episode. So apologies for that. If that does offend you, then you have been warned. Also, I think we're okay with spoilers. However, if you haven't seen Accident Man 2 yet, then maybe just to be on the safe side, watch the movie first and then listen to this. I'd hate to get complaints about spoiling the movie. So you have also been warned there about that. This chat was also recorded about a week before the new John Wick Chapter 4 trailer was released. Scott is, of course, in the new John Wick movie, but he was sworn to secrecy at this point. He probably still is sworn to secrecy, but anyway, that's why we are a little bit cagey about talking too much in depth about John Wick Chapter 4. However, Scott does talk in some detail about it on this show. Anyway, enough of all this. I will be back at the end of this conversation to waffle on a little bit more, but until then, here we go. Here is my conversation with the great Scott Adkins.
I've got a microphone here, so that makes me sound even better, hopefully.
Yeah. You're used to all this podcasting stuff, Scott.
Yeah.
How this all, how
Where
this all
the hell are you?
Oh, mate, this is my makeshift studio. This is why I don't do the...
You look like Matt Damon in that movie where he goes to Mars.
When I talked to Daniel Bernhardt, he said it looked like I was in a sci-fi film. So, this is the best I can do in a very noisy flat in London. This is a makeshift soundproofing going on.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible. Yeah, but there we go. So last time you were on the podcast was 2020, during the height of lockdown. And you've done 8 films since then.
I don't know if I've done 8 films or whether the 8 films just got released.
Came out. Yeah. Well, you were on to talk about Debt Collector 2, which I loved, by the way.
Good.
But yeah, so there was 8 more.
8 more, yeah. I think they were stacking up. I think I've just got a backlog, maybe. I haven't worked that much. I mean, I know since the pandemic, I've done Castle Falls one shot.
Yes, they're on
Pay Shift, John Wick 4, yes. And Accident Man.
Yes.
Oh, and I did 2 little ones for Brandon Burroughs.
Yeah. Max Cloud, which the Andy Long connection.
I remember being in York filming Max Cloud, and they were saying that 2 people from China were in York with the COVID. But I remember thinking, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The first 2 people in the UK with COVID was in York, and that's where we were filming.
No.
Yeah.
Gosh. What's sort of drawing you to say yes to stuff nowadays then? Because I know, you know, you're a family man. I know you've got, you know, the kids are at school today and all that stuff. So, you know, I guess the pull of sort of, you know, just being around your family as well. It's grueling, isn't it, being away. So does that factor into your decisions now, Scott?
It's always been that way. So I don't know that I'm making... my son is really attached to me. It's because he was young when the pandemic happened, and so I was around a lot more, whereas with my older daughter, I was away a lot when she was little, so she's always been used to it, I think. So definitely it feels worse on him than on her in some way, because he's used to having me around. But it's not something I think about. At the end of the day, work is work, and it's what I do, and sometimes I have to go away. And to be honest, if I'm the lead in a movie, I don't really want them around because I'm so busy. It's better just to leave me alone. I'm so tired and grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
Because it takes its toll, the martial arts stuff. So if I've got a smaller role in a bigger movie, then it's great to have them around because I've got more time on my hands. And, you know, something like Criminal, I was in London, they were coming down a lot, and Doctor Strange.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because
they got to go on the set of Doctor Strange. That's cool.
No, not on the set. They came to Bulgaria the once. Well, Carmel did, and she was on the set of Hercules.
Yeah.
But if I'm the lead, probably better just to let me get on with it. Yeah.
Well, they're tight shoots, aren't they? Because you haven't got many days to turn that around. So I guess there's no. Yeah, I guess, you know, leave Dad alone kind of thing. I guess that's the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, no days off on accident, man, that's for sure. I remember doing El Gringo. We had a short shooting schedule, as they all are, but this one was particularly short. And of course, it's very important for me to make sure that the action's good. So I suggested to the producer, how about if I don't have a day off and we have a second unit that works on the day off and they can have a different day off in the week, but I'll never stop working. And he said, okay. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we got some great action in that movie.
Yeah.
But the problem was the director and the editor completely ruined it.
Mm.
And think about me having every day off. I didn't have a day off. And then he went and completely ruined it. I mean, for God's sakes.
These are the lessons you learn along the way, though, Scott, isn't it? Because I get the sense now where, and particularly with the Accident Man films or the films that you're involved in, I guess, from a producer level, at least you've got a say in how the action looks.
Exactly. That's the only reason to do it, Ben, is to have that control. Because producing is extremely stressful. Ignorance is bliss. I mean, we had all sorts of shenanigans going on behind the scenes on Accident Man 2. And the less I knew about it, the better it would have been for my mental health. You know, it's so stressful. But the only reason to produce, and I can't say that I enjoy it, but it's just having a bit of control over the end product.
What are the aspects that you do enjoy about it? I guess that is
producing.
Just the end product.
Yeah, zero. Zero, apart from I can pull out the producer card, say, hey, I'm the producer.
Yeah.
Not only am I the lead actor and the writer...
Yeah.
And the fight choreographer, I'm also the producer.
Yes.
So shut up and listen. So do as you're told or you're getting fired. No, I don't go that far.
Did you have quite a say in the casting for Accident Man 2?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd say that all the fighters are handpicked by me. Because, you know, I don't want to be working with someone that's going to make my life more difficult when it comes to the action. If you're working with people that understand it and can do it, it's an easier process. And then when it comes, like every part, really. I mean, every part. You know, obviously discuss it in detail with the directors. But that was a great experience on this one because we really did see eye to eye for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be 100% on everything. But for the most part, we were, you know, agreed on those decisions. It wasn't a struggle.
You didn't want to invite Jesse back for this one then? Or I guess he's off doing his own projects as well, isn't he?
Yeah. No, look, he's busy doing other things. And the truth is that he adapted his directing style to sort of fit what I wanted Accident Man to be.
Yeah.
But it didn't really, it wasn't fully one thing or the other, it was something in between.
Yeah.
But he was busy doing other things anyway. So I needed to get another director, and it turned out to be the Kirbys. When I knew I needed another director, I wanted them straight away because I knew that the tone was going to be right for what I originally conceived Accident Man to be like, which was sort of like a Matthew Vaughn or Edgar Wright type of feel. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Well, I definitely think this sequel really achieves that, and it's got a real. It's really funny as well, which I really appreciated. I and the action, obviously, we'll get into this, but
yeah,
it's superb work, Scott. You're hearing this a lot with this movie. How do you feel? Are you pleased with a lot of the feedback that you're getting?
Yeah, very happy.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to please everyone, I'm not going to please myself completely. There's always a compromise that goes on. Some of it is obvious, and some of it not so obvious. But knowing everything that I know about that went into making the film, I'm extremely proud of myself and everyone else and all the work that everyone did. It's not easy to make such a fully-fledged action movie. It's not easy to make something so British and yet so Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Happy that the comedy came across better in this one. I think the directors really helped with that because they certainly leaned into it hard. And we went a bit more Looney Tunes with it, a bit less mean-spirited, but still, it's got the edge. And yeah, really happy. And, you know, I've said this before, I was a big fan of films like The No Retreat, No Surrenders growing up, not just those. Those Hong Kong movies as well, they're a lot of fun, and the action was hard-hitting. But there was always a big sense of fun going on, you know, like some of Yuen Woo Ping's early stuff as well.
Yeah.
I just wanted that to be the flavor, and the directors understood that, and that's what we did. So, yeah, a British Hong Kong movie is what we made.
So how did I find myself in this situation, you ask? Became a professional killer. And yeah, it's a dirty job. Happy to get my hands bleeding filthy for the right price. Needed to keep my head down after what happened back in London. So I grabbed my fake passport and hopped on the first flight to anywhere, which turned out to be Malta.
There's more people need killing in this corner of the world than I can keep up with.
I might be able to help you out.
This is our lab, where he trials all of his new techniques and where I can have a bash at seeing if they're actually going to work in the real world.
Go!
How'd you find me, Ray?
I heard that you've got a nice little earner going on down here.
Nothing we got going on down here is going to bother you.
You have bothered me.
No pain, no gain, eh, mate?
So, Accident Man 2 or Accident Man Hitman's Holiday, the follow-up to, obviously, Accident Man. Was that 2018? When was that?
2016 we shot.
2016?
Yeah, gosh, November, December 2016, but it didn't come out until February 2018.
Very much your pet project based on a comic book that I know that you read as a kid growing up. Yeah. Although, Scott, this story is completely separate, isn't it, from the... Gosh, there it is, look.
Yeah, I know we're not video.
That's amazing.
This is not the original, though. I actually lost it.
No, is that like a hardback?
This was a new version that I got. But the original, I had it for ages and I lost it. And the dog had eaten it and I'd sellotaped it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I always had this comic book with me growing up thinking, why hasn't anyone made this into a film, man?
Yeah. So this sequel is a whole new story. Obviously, you know, you've brought back some of the characters from the first film. But this is a whole new thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Created from scratch. The first one was very faithful, you know, adaptation of the original source material. Although the original source material would have been about a 40-minute movie, so we had to flesh it out. And then we came up with it completely new from scratch, me and Stu Small, for the second one.
You find yourself in Malta.
Yeah, we'd go anywhere that was just not England. I figured he's been banished from London, which means he's banished from England. It's no good going to Birmingham, is it, or Leeds?
No.
He needs to be in a different country. So I was happy for it to be any country, just not England, wherever we could get the best tax incentive, basically. And it turned out to be Malta, which was great for the movie because it gives it a completely different look.
Yeah, it does. It gives it this sort of like breezy kind of holiday vibe. It's nice. It's got a different vibe to the first film. It's not quite as claustrophobic, is it, I guess?
Hitman's Holiday, that was something that was decided on, you know, once the film was already delivered.
Yeah.
Almost delivered.
I'm actually going to Malta in a couple of weeks. Not just for a few days.
Listen, Accident Man was the best martial arts film to be filmed in Malta since Black Eagle. So, you know.
Was that Malta, was it? Yeah.
It was Malta. Yeah.
You didn't get to sightsee then when you were there, I guess.
It was pretty
intense. Yeah.
Too busy. No sightseeing for me.
But the film does pick up a lot of great locations. It's all filmed on location there, so it's a nice little...
You'll be surprised. Tourist things place. That went on. The brothers went out there to location scout, and they found quite a few locations. We came back and we started pre-vising the action sequences with the measurements of the locations mapped out in the gym floor. And then by the time we got back to Malta, we'd lost two of those three locations. And then other things happened, like last minute locations are falling through. All these compromises that have to be made, but some of it worked out for the better. Like that interrogation sequence with Adam Basil punching me and everything, where we are there. That was a last minute decision to go there. And the way you see Valletta in the background, it almost looks like a painting.
Yeah.
Originally, we were going to be in a big high rise looking over the whole city. It would have looked different.
Yeah.
But that's what it originally was. But we had problems with the weather and we thought, oh, it's going to be too windy. We need to find somewhere else. And the whole location where I fight Yendi was different. Things like that happen. You've got to be able to change things last minute and be malleable.
You're more than aware now of the experience, the years that you've had in this industry doing these movies, that, you know, where the compromises might need to be made, where you might need to think of a backup. You're quite experienced this now.
You get to obviously they're giving you less money. It's not 100 million, so there's less people trying to tell you what to do. You can pretty much do what you want to do.
Yeah,
there's no compromise there. But then the compromise comes when you're working on a lower budget and you can't control everything. Like, there's going to be mistakes and things happening because you don't have an endless pot of money to make sure that doesn't happen.
I think you said, when we met for the cast and crew screening, you said it was a 2 million budget, but by filming in Malta, it goes to 3 million. So you just have that little bit more income there.
Yeah, but it was still a 22-day shoot. Accident Man 1 was a 24-day shoot in London, but that's, having really smart producers being able to carve out a bit more extra time. Accident Man 1, I specifically wrote the flashback to happen so that I could get more time on second unit with an action unit. That's why that fight between me and Amy and me and Mike and Ray Park are, long and, they're good. Because I gave myself more time the way it was structured, the schedule. I did the same thing on Accident Man 2, the end fight in the shambles. While I was fighting Poco, the second unit was filming Sarah and Peter in their fight so that we just get more time to shoot the action, which you need. You need to be smart with the schedule, and that's where the producing comes in from me. I don't know how to talk to the banks and get the financing and whatnot, but I understand what it takes to make an action film.
And you're basically directing that then, aren't you?
Not on this occasion. I have done in the past, but no, it was... It was George Kirby with me and Poco, me and Bo. So he's there holding the camera as well. We've already pre-vised it, you see, back in London, definitely that fight. And then when we got to Malta in the 2 weeks running up to shooting, Andy came over to Malta, Andy Long, and we choreographed my fight with him and pre-vised that. And then he created the other fight, which he was directing alongside with Harry.
And that's where having brothers,
two brothers,
yeah.
So obviously Andy's really experienced with the action, and Harry a bit less so, but he's there, making sure the thread of the drama is happening and the characters and everything and the story is being told the way he wants.
No! Stop that!
So these are the Kirby brothers, the directors. They're making their feature film debut. But George has worked on stunts before. You've worked with him in the past, haven't you?
Threw him down the stairs on Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, these stairs are nice and padded. It's pretty cushy job on these big budget Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I met him on that, and I saw their YouTube stuff. And they sent me... a proof of concept sort of short movie opening to a film that they're trying to finance. And I was so impressed that I was like, oh man, these are the guys for Accident Man. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Because they've got a visual style, very visual. They're good with special visual effects. Like a lot of the visual effects, I mean, I know some of them, they're not in Accident Man. Some of them are a little bit ropey in some ways. But when you know that George Kirby himself as many of those visual effects have just been done by him. No one else. We didn't have a team of visual effects
artists. Just on his laptop.
Marvel movie.
Yeah.
He's done it himself,
yeah,
which is amazing. But of course, you know, everyone's going to judge our little movie against the 200 million Avengers Infinity War. That's just the way it goes.
I always say it's annoying in many ways, isn't it? Because when with these streaming services, the movies just sit side by side next to, like, you know, big $200 million Marvel film next to, like, indie action movie. Yeah, it's...
This is it. I mean, I've read some comments where people are like, oh, that CGI didn't work. You should have just used a prosthetic head. Well, have you got any idea how much a prosthetic head costs to mold and to make it look perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have got an old one from somewhere, I suppose, if we could have found one, but it wouldn't have looked exactly like the actor. And it's all that stuff. Yeah. You know, it's really complicated. We do the best with what we've got.
What I like about this is that Mike Fallon, the character of Mike Fallon, it's quite a self-deprecating humour, isn't it? Like, he's kind of an idiot in a way, isn't he? You know, he's yelling at the shop there that they're not selling Maltesers in Malta. I thought that was really funny. But, like, there's loads of bits like that where, you know, it's just, it doesn't take itself too seriously. I think that's the winning combination here.
I'm even more me in this one than I wasn't me in the first one. The character evolved. We felt we could go more silly with him. We made him an idiot in the first one because he's got a real vicious side to him. So if you make him a bit of an idiot, you can get away with it, we felt.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just a bit more silly in this one, a bit more like me.
That's coming from you then, Scott, or is that just working with Stu? Or I guess because you know Stu so well, you grew up together, you know, you I guess you have the same sort of sense of what's funny.
Yeah, he writes well for me. I understand the way he's writing because we're such close friends, grown up together. So when he writes something, I instantly know how that needs to be said, because I know him and he knows me. Like, we spent a lot of time developing the structure of the movie on this one and the story and what it would be. We did a lot of writing together on the first one. He's a much better writer than me. I'm not a writer. I just sort of mess around with what he's done, ruin it, and then get him to fix it. But for this one, he writes great characters. Stu writes really good characters. And so once we had the structure and the story figured out, he just took it away and does what he does. And we didn't really need many drafts after that. I think the one of the very first ideas was, it should be Mike and Fred and their friendship. And we wanted the theme to be friendship and how, you know, he's killed all of his mates in the first one. And he's at the start of it, he's like, no, I don't need anyone in my life. I'm much better off on my own. I'm a cold stone killer after all, you know. Well, I don't need mates. And then the whole theme is that he begrudgingly rekindles his friendship and realizes that this is something that he needs in his life, even though he's a stone cold killer. He still needs mates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, lines like the melted Ben Affleck line, I've seen it twice in the cinema now on both of those screenings. That's always got a really big laugh. There's loads of really funny lines in it, but, you know, are they, how much of these, like, lines were, it feels like it's kind of improv'd in a way, but I'm guessing it was like a lot of these, like, what does Sarah Chang say? I'll fuck you in the lungs or something? What's that line?
Yeah, we...
Who's coming up with that?
She came up with that. We were like, we need you to... I want you to shout something and I'll shush you up. What could you shout? And she starts saying these Cantonese words. And we're like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Well, what does that one mean? And she's like, oh, that means I will fuck you in the lungs. We're like, well, you've got to say that.
Yeah.
Just say it in English.
That's going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then doing the opening scene where she's screaming at me and we wanted her screaming all these Cantonese swear words in slow motion. And then I said to her, what, do these actually mean anything? Because we might have to subtitle or something. So yeah, she just starts going through it. And this one is motherfucker. And so we just did an improv where I go, What's that you say? I don't speak Cantonese. Say it in English.
Yeah.
And she just shouts, motherfucker. And that was a complete improv as well. You know, we have the script, and there's so many funny lines in there that Stu's written.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it very English and colloquial, like, I wouldn't know about that now, would I, you stupid Burke? I mean, things like that that are so English. I get a big kick out of putting it into the film, to be honest, and calling people twats and whatnot.
Yeah. Has anyone said anything? Because it is a very sort of British sense of humour, isn't it? I think you compared it to Bottom on the Q&A, which was a good, and it has that sort of anarchicness about it. But have you had any comments from, I don't know, I bet the American viewers, do they fully get a lot of the gags?
We got more of on the first one that they were saying that didn't really know what we're talking about sometimes because it was too English. Maybe it was from Jesse because he spent a lot of time in America. He's like, no, you have to Americanize it a bit more. And I was like, I don't want to. Yeah. Let's make it English, man. English Hong Kong movie, come on. It is a thing. I mean, I do read some comments sometimes from Americans saying, I don't know, like specifically with Avengement. I was speaking to Keanu Reeves on John Wick, and he watched Avengement. I was like, oh, wow, you watched it?
Wow.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I had to put the subtitles on, though, because I couldn't understand what anyone was saying. I'm like, really? Oh, okay. So it is an issue, but
yeah,
just figure, I want to make the films that I want to make.
Yeah, of course, of course. Did Keanu like Avengement?
He said he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he did. Amazing. He did. He absolutely did. And I appreciate that he took the time to watch. We were talking. I recommended that was one of a good one that I've done, and you should check it out if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And he did. And it's like, oh, cool, man. He's a nice guy.
Amazing.
Not bad at all.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're one of the main fight choreographers, but you did quite a bit of pre-viz before you went out to Malta. Andy Long, I know, was involved. Tim Mann. I mean, my gosh, you're working with like the best people here in this movie. So a lot of it was pre-viz. Were you working things out on the day as well with some of these fight scenes? Or how did that sort of work out?
So Tim had pre-vised some of the fights. We had a full start. We almost started the movie before. And Tim would be with his team in Sweden, and he pre-vised about two fights. You know, a lot of ideas and concepts. It's going to change at some point, but he just put some stuff down. And then Tim went off to do another movie. He wasn't available. But he'd done these little pre-vises. So we took tiny pieces, and we thought we'd better give him a credit because of that. Tim didn't do that much. We just stole a little bit of stuff here and there.
Yeah.
And then so we were doing the previs, and I didn't want to get Andy over from where he lives to put him up in a hotel in London to do this because, we're trying to save money. So we said, we'll wait to previs my fight with him and the other fight with Sarah and Peter when we get to Malta, and everything else we're going to do in London. And so we had Hung Dancy Don come on. And he previs quite a lot with us. He choreographs quite a lot. And then another project, higher paying, took him away. And so now it's me and it's George. And we've got Sam Mack there. And we just pre-visited it, well, choreographed it all together and pre-visited it. And that's how it went, really. And then you get to Malta and you have some locations change. Like the opening fight with Sarah was much longer, but we lost some time and we also lost the original location. And so we're having to mix and match bits of choreography to fit the space. Because you've got to think about the lighting as well. You'll notice when you watch the movie that a lot of the time we're backlit from the window outside. And if you just shoot with the light behind the camera onto us, it looks very flat. And you try to avoid that as much as possible. Otherwise, you know, to just be friendly to our DP and try and help him make it look good. And so, you know, lots of things change for reasons like that.
I think you've played a blinder in getting the people that you did get to play these roles as well. Because as you say, Bo Fowler, Sarah Chang, Zara, even Andy Long. I mean, these martial artists that can do the action. And then they've got their acting beats as well. I think it's, you know, it's amazing people that you got involved in this.
Yeah, there was bigger actors on Accident Man 1, but I just wanted to get the right people for the characters for this one. And then sometimes we'd cast someone and we would mold the character to them. We're able to do that because, you know, we're the writers and we're all in on it.
Let's talk a little bit about Andy Long. I think your fight with him is exceptional. It's incredible stuff, Scott. It's very exciting. Andy's obviously, you know, very talented performer, but talented filmmaker as well.
He's amazing. Obviously, I worked with him on Undisputed 3, and then came and he did the action for Max Cloud. When I didn't have Tim, he was the first person I thought of to do the action for Accident Man, but just couldn't get him out to choreograph all the fights ahead of time. But yeah, I think he should be a star in his own right. He's fantastic. He's a good-looking lad. He's one of the best on-screen martial artists you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And he understands filmmaking at a level of, you know, Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung. And you can see that's evident in the end fight I have with him. It's got that distinctive Hong Kong style to it, the way it's shot and the editing choices. And he's just fantastic at it. I mean, one of the biggest complaints I've read about the movie is that fight isn't long enough. So that's good.
But I always think the best fights, you kind of want them to go on a little bit longer. I always think that with a lot of some of Jackie's stuff, like the Benny the Jet fight, you know, it's like, it's not enough. Like, it could go on longer.
Yeah.
You could quite easily have chopped into that fight and made yourself the more sort of dominant fighter in that, or, you know, what I mean to say is you really give each of those actors their due. You know, Andy looks amazing, Sarah looks amazing, you know, you give them good time to show their stuff. It's quite a selfless act in a way to do that.
I've heard that said before and I can't say that I ever thought of it that way. I just wanted what's best for the film. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm Accident Man, and the better my movie is, the better it is for me. That's the way I see it. But I've heard that before, and I've certainly experienced it with some other action stars. You know, I've seen it happen. But I've never been that way. I'm pretty confident in my abilities as a martial artist, and I'm happy for anyone to look as good as they can next to me, because I'm always going to look good because I am good. And if you're better than me, so be it. And Oyumi, that character, he needed to be better than me. And
well, he's kicking your ass in that fight scene, really, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. It's like Sarah's character's kicking my ass for the whole movie, and then she runs after him, and then she gets knocked out with one kick. It's like, oh, shit, well, how's this going to go down? I can't just start beating him up too quick. You want to feel some fear for the character. Is he going to be able to survive this onslaught? Stallone was always very good at taking a kick in. And Jackie Chan, he always takes a good kick in. You know, it's not about me looking like I'm well-armed and I haven't got hair out of place and no one can touch me. It's more about creating an exciting action sequence that put you on the edge of the seat, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you look back to stuff like Undisputed 3, you know, I've got Marco in, we've got Latif in, you know, Kane Kasugi on Ninja 2. I just want everyone to look their best.
Yeah.
And if you look better than me, so be it, man. Yeah. Well done, because I'm pretty fucking good. That's my, you know, that's the way I think about it.
Well, I want to ask that as well, because Scott, we're all getting older. I know I definitely feel it.
Yeah.
But you're still, I mean, how many fight scenes are there in this film? Yeah. And you're in, they're not like little, you know, a couple of scenes, the Faisal fight, the Zara fight, all those, the fights with Sarah, the fight with Andy. Gosh, you know, they're full on scenes. That must be exhausting to do anyway. How are you finding this as you're getting older?
Yeah, it doesn't get easier.
No.
And, you know, I can't do some of the crazy stuff that I used to do. And it just
you can still do a lot of it though, Scott.
Yeah, I can do a fair. I can do enough.
Yeah,
you know, me on a bad day is still better than most.
Yeah,
and so that's, you know, I'm happy with that. I will adapt my style as time goes on. You know, you might get a stunt double to. I don't want somebody doubling me for the fights, but certainly if there's going to be a hard hit, there's it's pointless to do it yourself. It's only ego that's making you do it.
Yeah.
Because if you do get hurt, it's going to affect the film. Now, I do a stunt in Accident Man where I get thrown out of the van, and that was on the last day. Originally, that wasn't scheduled to be the last day, and I was going to let the stuntman do it. I was actually going to go through the coffee table because it was the last day, so it didn't matter if I got hurt. But that's why I did that stunt, is like, because I want to do the stunt, but we don't have we can't just shut the film down like on a Mission Impossible movie and wait for me to heal up.
Yeah.
You know, and I hurt my knee in the first week. We scheduled all the shambles fights for the first week so that we could rehearse and then go straight into shooting it. And I hurt my knee in the first week, and I was carrying that injury for the rest of the movie, which sucks. But yeah, you know, I'll just do my best, and I'll keep doing my best. You got to be mentally tough to make these films.
Yeah.
You've got to accept the fact that, okay, the next 22 days are going to be miserable. I have to try and remember not to lose my temper and, be a good boy on set.
Do you have a bit of a temper, Scott?
Listen, when you're doing all the fights and you're putting yourself through the ringer, it's hard to stay in a good mood. And there's so much expectation, and I'm pushing myself hard. And so I push everyone hard. I mean, I'm not out there having a good time. I'm out there trying to make a good film. And, you know, if somebody's working on that movie and they don't really care, they're there for a paycheck, that's fine. But people need to understand that isn't what it is for me. I'm trying to do something worthwhile. I really am.
Yeah.
And so there are times when, yeah, it is hard. It is difficult, and I can't coast. So yeah, I'm a little bit tetchy sometimes. I'll admit it. It's hard not to be.
I think it's because of the strong track record, this high standards you've sort of set yourself as well. It's quite a high bar. And we've said this in the past when we've spoken to each other, you know, there isn't anyone doing this level of action at that level.
Yeah.
You know,
the reason for that is because it is so physically demanding. It's a miserable experience.
Even in the small, so I saw Section 8 the other day, which it was fine.
Yeah.
But your scenes were like the most exciting parts of the film. And that end fight was the best thing in the film.
Yeah.
So even though
I did enjoy that, yeah, to be honest, because that was me coming out there refreshed, you know, had enough sleep.
I've
got 2-3 days of action to film. You know, that's okay. But when you're on your third week of nonstop abuse, you know, I will admit that sometimes I can be a bit grumpy, and I know I need to do better. I've admitted it. I don't know what it is about when I interview with you, but I'm always so honest. You bring it out of me.
Is now a good time for a gear shift? how to phrase this? Well, obviously, a key cast member in this movie, Zara Vivian, was arrested, went to trial. She's currently serving 8 years for child sex offences. This obviously all came out post-filming. I guess there must have been a discussion with the producers, with Sony, maybe around how to deal with this situation. We should say to viewers, people who haven't seen Accident Man 2, that her scenes are in the film. So if that's upsetting or triggering for anyone, then it is worth noting that obviously Zara's scenes are still in the film. Scott, what were the conversations that were had? Was there an attempt to try and remove those scenes from the movie? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, obviously it was a horrible situation to find yourselves in. We didn't have any knowledge of what was going on when we were shooting the film, or even when we were editing it. Just as the film was completed and ready to be delivered to Sony, we all found out what was going on. We're all completely shocked about it. And all, of course, just hated the fact that something like that is going to be associated with our movie that we've worked so hard on. And I've avoided talking about it because, you know, I don't want to talk about it because I want to celebrate all the good things about the film. But obviously it's something that's out there. Myself, the other producers, the directors desperately didn't want to be associated with anything like that. So we really thought about what the options would be, and there was three options. Number one, cut the scene out of the movie. And if you've seen the movie, it's not going to make sense how he's covered in blood for the rest of the film. And
the,
you've got
the continuity,
this massive 7-minute action sequence that was really difficult to shoot would just be gone from the film. The other option was to reshoot it, which, you know, so you're talking about thousands of pounds. Not sure how much, but, you know, we didn't get to look into it, but it certainly cost a lot. You'd have to go in and redo all the post-production that's already been done and paid for, and the film was locked. That's a lot of money associated to that. And then something we definitely considered and looked into was some sort of face replacement, something like that. But ultimately, we're a low-budget movie. We're at a point where all the money has been spent. And so we came up with a list of potential fixes and presented it to Sony Pictures when we delivered them the movie. And they decided that they didn't want to pay for it to be done. So what can you do? We are not a big, massive movie with, like, it's not Army of the Dead where we could remove someone with CGI and replace. Is it a bad situation to be in? We were happy to fix it if we could, but we couldn't. The film was delivered. The only thing we could do was remove our credit. And so we did do that.
I appreciate that, Scott, and just sort of explaining that for people as well, because I think a lot of people might, if they saw the scene knowing what they know, might be quite, you know, shocked to see that.
Yeah. But I didn't want to talk about it too much, because if somebody doesn't know, then they can just enjoy the movie for enjoying the movie.
Of course.
That's why I didn't want to highlight it when I don't. But, you know, a lot of people have had questions about why didn't this happen or that. Well, it's not as easy as you might think. You need. Yeah. We don't have a bottomless pit of money.
I am interested in the future of Accident Man as a franchise. Accident Man 3. What do we think?
I think yeah. The gears are in motion.
Is that a scoop?
The gears are in motion.
Who haven't you worked with? Who's actually left?
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
I haven't worked with him. Martial arts wise, Bruce Lee.
Well,
yeah. I've worked with everyone.
There'll be some CGI thing that they could do.
I haven't worked with Alain Moussy. I haven't worked with Brent Preston.
Have you worked with Mark Dacascos?
I haven't worked with Mark Dacascos. Yeah, that's a good point.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of, I genuinely can't think of Seagal. Have you worked with Seagal?
I feel like I have because I did The Art of Action, but no.
Yeah. Is there any more Art of Action on the way, Scott? It's really great. It's great.
There's one more episode coming out. Okay. And I think I may put it to bed. It's a lot of work. I think if I can get some of the bigger stars to do it, I would do it. Mm. But it's not so easy. It was actually easier in 2020 when the pandemic was on because nobody was busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well, that was the I same with busy. This show. I so many people were just suddenly available.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of recordings there. But yeah, it's, you know, everyone's back at work and it's slightly trickier this time around.
Yeah.
But yeah, there can't be too many. I mean, the big ones, obviously, Donnie. Worked with a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't think I haven't asked. But, you know.
I know I'm going to get shot down for this, but I'm going to try anyway. John Wick 4. What can you actually say about this? It was a great shoot. Yeah?
It was a great shoot, yeah.
Great
what
shoot.
What can I tell you about this? This is just audio, right?
This is just audio, yeah. I'm not going to release me in this space tent, Scott.
Yeah.
No one's seeing this setup.
Well, then maybe this is interesting because you can talk about, say what you see.
Oh, okay. So, whoa, Scott, what's in that? Okay, so listeners, I'm being shown a box here that's... well, it's longer than a shoebox. It's a sort of wooden box. It's got a John Wick 4 logo on the top of it. And now Scott's just opening it up. It's like a giant, like a sort of backgammon set almost, or like a chessboard. But gosh, what does that say, Scott? What does the writing say?
For Killer, which is my character name. Thank you, Scott, from Keanu Reeves.
Whoa, thank you, Scott, from Keanu Reeves, KR, it says.
And he gave me a gift, which was something that I have to keep away from the kids.
Okay, so the box has been opened to unveil an axe, there's a full-on axe. That's amazing. Okay, is that a key prop from the movie, I'm guessing?
I'll
it's pretty it random
before,
if it's not.
Before we get into too much trouble.
Yeah, okay.
But he's such a great guy, and everyone gets a gift from Keanu, and that was...
Do they really? He gives a gift to everyone?
Yeah, everyone. All the stunt performers got Rolexes.
Wow.
When I got this, I was like, where's my Rolex?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's cool. It's cool. I'm very excited
That's
for the
really
film
cool.
to come out. It's...
I bet you are. Well, everyone is.
Yeah, they're the best modern day action films that you could possibly be in.
Yeah,
I have enormous respect for Chad Stahelski and the stunt team and Keanu Reeves, because doing these movies, I know how hard it is.
Yeah,
and he does it time and time again. I mean, 4 John Wicks, 4 Matrix, Speed, Point Break. That's a lot of time spent with your body aching from action sequences, and he does it time and time again. And I really respect it. I think he's one of the best action stars. I really do.
In so much as you can see the effort he puts in, because he really puts his body through it all, doesn't he?
You can't do what he does and not properly do it.
Yeah.
He properly does it. He trains like a professional stuntman. He's able to do things that, you know, only a professional stuntman can do, long sequences of fighting techniques. We know he didn't start off as a martial artist and he learned it for The Matrix and whatnot, but the amount of time and effort that he's now put into it, he really enjoys the process.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Working with Donnie Yen again, that was good to work with Donnie.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best, one of the greatest.
One of the best. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just
amazing. Can't wait.
Yeah. Lots of things I could say. I'll tell you what was amazing for me was to be on the set, which are really elaborate. You know, anyone that's seen a John Wick movie knows that they look pristine. The quality of the shots, the cinematography, and the set design is impeccable.
Yeah.
So to be on what I believe is the biggest set, the biggest piece of production design that is in the movie, to be part of that, and to look at what Dan Lauston, the cinematographer, was doing, and the production designer, and Chad, the attention to detail. You know, obviously the action is incredible, but they just such amazing looking movies as well.
Yeah,
and that was really, I learned a lot from just watching Dan Lauston, the things that he does. Phenomenal looking movies.
Were you surprised they were even going to do a fourth? I know I spoke to Jojo about this because he worked on the third one, and he was saying how, you know, they just threw everything at that film, and it does show that they threw everything at the third one.
Yeah. See, I like the third one more than the others because it was more martial arts.
Yeah, the fights are great. They're really good.
And that's what made it, elevated it for me. But you couldn't keep doing the gun stuff again and again. It gets a bit, you know, we've seen it, so what are you going to do differently? Well, dogs and martial arts.
You're in the biggest action franchise of modern times, and you've still got the flexibility to be able to focus on your own projects as well. You're in a pretty good place at the moment. Is that how you see it?
I wouldn't agree with that. I would say that the stuntmen that are coming up as sought after directors, like J.J. Perry, Sam Hargrave, Chad Stahelski, David Leitch, they respect me and what I can do because there's no judgment there. They look at what I do as a martial artist, and there's a lot of respect and admiration for the art as I have for them. So they understand it. There's no, oh, he's a B-movie guy sort of attitude. They appreciate what I do.
Yeah.
And so they're put in a position where, okay, we've got a chance to make a movie and I want the action to look good. That's my bread and butter. And the more people they have like me around enables them to do good action, you know, like having Mark Dacascos in John Wick 3. You need people that can deliver that sort of action. If they have to spend 6 months training someone up, you know, I mean, that's a lot of time and effort, isn't it? Or
it is.
Or you could get me or Marco Zaror, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. But I wouldn't necessarily, I'm not going to, you know, obviously Hollywood's not banging down the door, but these new directors from the stunt world, they appreciate me and other people like me, and that's where the opportunity is coming from. So I'm still mainly doing my own things, but very happy for Chad and Keanu and for JJ.
Well, look at JJ, look at Day Shift. What a great movie that was.
Yeah.
You know, you had a great role in that film. And it's great to have these connections, these people who, you know, aware of your work and, as you say, trust you to deliver. So, you know,
yeah, I hope it does make a difference. I hope it does change things. We'll see.
We'll see.
Now, Hollywood's a fickle place.
Yeah.
But
I wondered if your ambitions had altered slightly. I don't know. Maybe that's just me outside looking in. But I know when we first spoke for this, that was years ago. Boyka, one of the Boyka films, Boyka 4. You know, that was you were really driven on that. And you were like, that's, you know, Hollywood, you know, this, give us a chance, you know, this is the thing. And well, you're in John Wick 4. It's sort of happening, Scott. So when will you have reached that ambition, do you think, that goal in your head?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, if I can just continue to do what I love to do and make a living doing it, then that's good enough for me. If I can continue to make movies like Accident Man and Avengement and I feel like I've got a film coming out that I'm really proud of, but I guess I haven't. I guess that was Accident Man. It came out already, but in my head it hasn't. But anyway, my point is, if I can continue, I'm happy to just continue doing what I do. I could do with some more money because it's really, really hard. But if you don't get that, that's okay. That's okay. You know, yeah. I know that I've got a lot of people that look forward to my movies, and that's not something to be ignored. And probably if I had a big budget, I wouldn't be able to do it the way that I do it. So, you know, at least there's that.
Abbott, you better give up.
Scott, before I end, can I ask some quick-fire questions?
All right.
I've stolen this, actually. I stole this from... do you remember 8711 actually had their own podcast for a while? Did you listen to that?
I didn't. No.
It was good. Well, they did like 10 episodes of it, and they had like JJ was on there, Chad was on there, Dave Leach was on there.
Oh, I must have.
And they just stopped doing it.
I think maybe I did.
They always ended on these quick fire questions. So I'm just going to fire these questions at you, Scott.
Yeah.
Favorite martial arts film?
Fist of Legend.
Fist of Legend. Good one. Okay. I didn't think you were going to say that. I thought you would have gone for a Bruce movie.
I almost said Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the hesitation was.
Yeah, yeah. Fist of Legend's very good. Favorite film? Just favorite film?
Jaws. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
Favorite director?
Flippin' hell. God, I might have to say James Cameron.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with
it. It's not like he's popular or anything.
No. He could do with the support.
Yeah.
If anything.
His fans haven't been making enough money on the bump. No, he's a great director, man. He knows.
Yeah.
He's like Spielberg, but more action orientated. So.
Yeah, that's true. Looking forward to I think he's got like 5 Avatar films coming out or something.
Kind of wish we weren't getting more Avatars, but I watched the trailer yesterday and I almost blubbed. So I'm well back in. I was like, this looks amazing.
It does look amazing. Yeah. I was watching something and they had to train to do all the underwater stuff, like holding their breath for like 3 minutes or something. Did you hear about this?
Crazy
like
for a cartoon.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's crazy.
It's hardcore. You know there's going to be some stuff in this that people have never seen before. Come on. Are you stupid enough to count out James Cameron? Do you know how many times he's been counted out? They said that Titanic was going to be rubbish. Then they said that Avatar was going to be rubbish. They said that Terminator 2 was widely over budget and it's going to be a massive flop. Come on.
Okay, favorite actor/actress?
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
Yeah, he's always been my favourite. He doesn't do as much anymore, obviously, but incredible actor.
He's always great.
Yeah.
Great to see. Favourite food? We're really getting to know Scott Adkins here.
My wife's food. I'm just going to say that.
That's very sweet.
It's not even like, so I don't get into trouble. It's
is that
genuinely, I'm so lucky that she's cooking food for me. I should cook more, but I'm shit. She's amazing.
You must have a staple. Even I've got a couple of meals I can
rustle up. I do a pretty good chili con carne, actually.
Oh, yeah. That is one of mine, actually, as well.
It's easy.
Yeah. One pot meal, Scott. That's the key. Favourite place to visit?
Thailand.
Yeah, okay.
Or Dubai.
Yeah, nice. Hot. Not Birmingham.
Not Birmingham, no.
Nothing wrong with Birmingham. Sorry, any listeners in Birmingham. And finally...
In Birmingham, they know it's crap. So don't worry.
It's on the up, isn't it? I saw the Commonwealth Games. That must have been fun, having all that there.
Bloody noise. Traffic was terrible.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
And finally, any life lessons, favourite sort of words of wisdom, anything like that, that you've heard along the way that you'd like to share with our listeners, Scott?
Stay ready, and then you never need to get ready. And when the opportunity arises, you're ready.
Yeah.
Stay ready.
That's great, man. Thank you so much. Scott, I'll let you get on with your day.
Okay, Ben.
Thanks,
mate.
Good to chat. You take care.
Okay, mate.
Okay, bye-bye. Scott Adkins there. Thank you, Scott. Very kind of you to take the time to talk to me for this episode, his fifth appearance on this podcast. We do normally catch up every time he has a new movie out that he's really proud of, and he has every right to be very proud of Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday. The film is available to rent now on digital here in the UK. It's out in the USA too, and most other territories now, I think, around the world. Many of you have probably already seen it. Our review is up now on our website, kungfumovieguide.com, and I'll be sure to put a link to the review in this podcast description. A couple of extra things to mention at the end here. The Art of Action web series is a great show. It's on Scott's YouTube channel. If you haven't seen it, and I would be very surprised if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Scott's Art of Action web series, it's video interviews with some of the biggest names from martial arts movies. He's got a lot of the people that I've been trying to get hold of for years. People like Tony Jaa, Iko Uwe, Mark Dacascos, Gary Daniels, Dolph Lundgren, Michael Jai White, Chad Stahelski, they've all been on The Art of Action. Even Steven Seagal, as Scott mentioned there, has been on the show. Go to Scott's YouTube channel to watch it all, link in the description. I looked into that thing I mentioned about the Avatar cast, and I completely got that wrong. It wasn't 3 minutes. Apparently, and I'm reading this now from the Variety website, so Cameron, that's James Cameron, had his cast train with the world's best breath hold specialists so that he could film extended long takes underwater. Kate Winslet, who is in Avatar, The Way of Water, held her breath for 7 minutes, while Sigourney Weaver previously revealed she got up to 6.5 minutes. Zoe Saldana's longest underwater breath hold clocked in at 5 minutes. So there you go, extraordinary stuff there from the cast of the new Avatar movie. So anyway, I was way off saying 3 minutes. I'll put a link to that article in the description of this podcast. Avatar, The Way of Water is released on the 16th of December this year, 2022. And John Wick Chapter 4, that's coming out on the 24th of March, 2023. So still a little while to go on that one. I do hope that Scott doesn't get into too much trouble for revealing his gift from KR on this episode. I'm pretty sure it's fine in audio form. When I said JoJo earlier in the conversation, I was referring, of course, to John Wick fight choreographer Jonathan Eusebio. Jonathan Eusebio, aka JoJo, he was my guest on episode 80 of this podcast, so go and check out that conversation if you haven't heard that already. The new John Wick 4 trailer came out last week. It looks amazing. Big roles for both Donnie Yen and Hiroyuki Sanada by the looks of things, and we can't wait to see what Scott's going to add into that mix. It's going to be very special, I'm sure, whatever the case. So anyway, the new trailer link, that is also in the podcast description. And I think that's it for today. A huge thank you to Scott Adkins for taking the time to talk to me for this episode of the show. And a huge thank you to you, of course, the loyal Foo follower, who has downloaded and streamed and listened to this episode of the show all the way to the very end. Thank you so much. There is just one final thing regarding the release schedule now for this podcast, as we're coming to the end of the year. There will be another new episode in 2 weeks' time, as per the usual schedule. And then the podcast disappears until it then comes back for our end of year episode with your friend of mine, Mike Fury. Mike and I are already planning out that episode now, which is extraordinary how quickly this year's gone. But anyway, that's our festive year in review show. More details on that coming soon. It's always a fun time hanging out with Mike to record that one. There will be the opportunity to take part in that show by submitting your thoughts on your favourite martial arts movies of the year 2022. And I will be sure to share how you can do that very soon. In the meantime, keep it locked to all the usual KFMG pod channels to keep up to date with all the latest news about this podcast and martial arts movies in general. We are on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and you can email me. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with another brand new episode of the show. Until then, take care, stay safe, be well, and I will speak to you all again very soon on the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.